Hello, Ari Rosenbaum here with another fun-filled episode of the F1K Podcast. This week's topic, we're going to talk about how to keep plans, sponsor clients in these challenging times. Of course, with what's going on with COVID-19, coronavirus, strange political times, and whatnot. But before that, we'll talk about that 401k virtual conference, which will be next Friday, July 10th. Of course, I'll be there speaking. We have a two-hour event. We're going to start at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. People are going back to work. They don't have 4 hours to spend, so we're going to try to do it at a smaller pace or a smaller time frame, 2 hours. I'll be there. We got some interesting presentations from EvoShare. We're going to finally talk about marketing, group presentation on that. My friends at FBA National are going to roll out some benefits in addition to retirement plan benefits, or actually absent retirement plan benefits. You'll have to see it to understand it. It's something very, very fascinating and something that will complement, obviously, some of the big changes coming out in 2021. That 401k conference itself, baseball season looks like it's going to start. Already hearing back from some of the teams about rescheduling for 2021. That would be the events in Houston, St. Louis, Minnesota. Hopefully we can get on to Vegas in December. We'll see what happens. You know, way back in March, I don't think any of us understood the significance of the pandemic and its effects. We thought, my school announced my kids would be out of school for 2 weeks. I don't think at the time we expected that it would be for the entire rest of the school year. But these are the breaks. We'll get back to these events at one point or at the other. So anyway, this week's topic, keeping plan sponsors in these challenging times. And you know, it is very, very challenging. I've been in the business since 1998, September the 8th, 1998. I've seen a few things, the dot-bomb era, 9/11, the whole almost meltdown of our financial systems in 2008. Obviously, the pandemic is something new, 40 million people out of work. In terms of legislation, the CARES Act was something significant that we had not seen at all in the retirement plan business in terms of offering a different level of a hardship distribution so people can access retirement money because they needed it. When you have such high unemployment, I know several people that are out of the work. Luckily, when you're in business for yourself, you have some leeway in terms of your work and in terms of, helping kids with, the homework and whatnot. And, with my business, it has its ebbs and flows, as they say. And I'm lucky to be where I am as opposed to working for somebody else, with having two kids at home, you're truly working from home, it made things easier. But we have to understand that, obviously, aside from what we see on Facebook, but the pandemic is causing higher tensions. And I think that that's something everybody has to understand. I think right now we have to walk on eggshells when dealing with our clients. They are very, very stressed out. Certain businesses have been closed since March. In New York State, for example, while I can have I have inside dining now on Long Island, I can't have inside dining in Manhattan or in the five boroughs. If I go to New Jersey, I can't do that as well. So obviously, businesses are struggling. Not everybody is fully back to work. Even again in my life, things have changed. I used to start working at around 7 o'clock when I dropped off the kids, from school. Now it's a lot different when you're managing, for March, April, and May, and that first week of June. you know, managing their homeworks, managing their Google Meet schedule with class. I didn't start work until 10 a.m., if I was lucky. So, you know, I'm stressed out, everybody else stressed out. You know, my stress is a little bit different than somebody who has employees that they have to pay. You have clients that are multi-million dollar businesses. You know, they have very tough decisions to make as to what they're going to do with their employees. You know, they may have to deal with, again, they may still be in a total lockdown, you know, partial lockdown. Every state is different. Some states have opened up and they may have to reclose depending on, you know, if the infection rates have another spike. You know, there's still issues with the Paycheck Protection Program. So, you know, your clients are stressed out. I'm sure you're stressed out as well. We're all on edge. So when people are stressed out, they're very irritable and, you know, very easy to offend. So managing relationships with your clients is going to be a lot more difficult because they're going to be busy and stressed out. You know, it's important to have a little empathy for them in these challenging times, you know. You got to be sensitive to their needs as just being sensitive to your own needs. Empathy goes a long way. You may get attacked or criticized for something that you didn't do wrong, or or if you're just even providing information about what's going on with the CARES Act and the new fiduciary rule. So, you know, while you have it rough as a plan provider, and it's a rough business, especially if you're a TPA, you need to understand that many of your clients may have it rougher. Again, a restaurant, I read that 80% of the restaurants in Manhattan can't afford their June rent. So, people may criticize you or attack you, your clients, just because they're on edge. And it always reminds me of a story when my grandmother, Rosalia, I've written about her quite a bit. She was the greatest person I ever knew. And I had a younger cousin, cousin Rebecca, still do. I think there's a 21 age year difference. But anyway, when Rebecca was little, Rebecca was kind of tough with my grandmother. I wasn't like that. I was always loving to my grandmother. So Rebecca was tough on my grandmother. My grandmother says, you know, Rebecca, why are you attacking me? And Rebecca said, I have to take it out on somebody. 25 years later, I still remember that because it's true in the sense that when dealing with people, you may get attacked and criticized and yelled out by a client just because they're mad and they have to take out somebody. And unfortunately, sometimes that somebody is you. I used to always have that feeling at work. One of the reasons I started working on my own. You know, you can't take things personally. When I first started out working, I think I was a lot more sensitive. And when somebody would say something, it would hurt a lot more than it does now. But again, I think when you work, when you no longer work in an office, you kind of avoid some of those shots that you get. And the shots sometimes you get from coworkers or your boss or whatever is because, not because you're in the wrong, but, you know, there's something else at play. So you have to understand that when dealing with irritable clients and angry clients, you can't take things personally. And the worst thing you could do is make the situation worse, heighten the tension, stress them out further to the point where they're going to fire you. And that goes to the next point where, from experience, I always say that most of my relationships in life, at least the ones that I actually cared about, I think the saddest part was they all have one running theme. They all dissipated or were destroyed because of a lack of communication. And that lack of communication with your clients, I think that that's one of the biggest reasons providers get fired. I have an expression in life, and it deals with people who in my life were, you know, weren't there when I needed them. Whether it was a catastrophe of my house being flooded or whatnot. Expression is pretty simple. I needed you. You weren't there. I don't need you now. So in these crazy times, your clients may need you now more than ever. You know, it could be something as simple as letting them know what they can do, or updates about the CARES Act, the fiduciary rule, and some of the other things down the pike. If you don't get in communication with the plan sponsor, your plan sponsor clients, somebody else may do that. You know, there are a lot of enterprise and competing plan providers that might reach out to your clients. So it's important you can communicate with them and let them know that you're there to help. So I know one of my clients is an RIA out here in Long Island. He's communicating with potential clients. And then, you know, looking at these potential clients who haven't heard from their current provider. So he's providing the information on what's going on with his business. Their providers aren't. And that's it's a big feather in his cap. So, you know, there's enough turmoil in the 401k plan business that you have plenty of openings in the lines of communication with your client. You could say, hey, you know, send them an email. Look what's going on with the fiduciary rule. Look what's going on about, notaries and consent forms and, you know, by gosh, all the other changes that are coming around as a result of the coronavirus. So, you know, there's so many points where you can talk to your client. The Secure Act was a great opportunity. When we have restatements coming up for 401k plans, we're going to have a great discussion about that, a great opening with our clients. You know, during these times, you know, my opinion is plan sponsors are going to need all the help they can get in, you know, dealing with coronavirus and dealing with the ramifications and dealing with the stock market and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, going to deal with the new fiduciary rule. Deal with the new restatement. There's so many opportunities out there to communicate with your clients, and I think that, you know, not communicating with them is a recipe for disaster. You know, there's some plan sponsors who still haven't decided what they're going to do with the CARES Act. You know, they want to hear from you. If you're a financial advisor, you know, you're obviously maybe communicating obviously what's going on with the market. Market's very choppy. You know, in terms of changing funds or having meetings, it may not be necessary, but showing that you're there and that you communicate with them, I think just really goes a long way. And, you know, in that aspect, you know, you may have to hold your client's hand a lot more than you did in the past. You know, plan sponsors need information out there that is clear and concise. They need to know what's going on, what's going on in the retirement plan space. New fiduciary rule, that's great. You know, you could talk about that, but there's so many other changes that have been coming around. Instantaneous changes. And I think that this is the point where the communication that you provide to your clients has to be clear and consistent. It's got to be understandable on a plan sponsor level. I always talk about the fact that I worked at a union law firm for 10 months. It was like the longest 10 months of my life. I worked for a very, very good ERISA attorney. Her problem was she liked to speak in ERISA-ese. That's great when you're talking to other ERISA attorneys. Not so great when you want to talk to your clients. They have to digest this information, and best to write it on a plan sponsor level than an ASPA level. And I don't mean anything bad by ASPA, but obviously people on an ASPA level are a lot more knowledgeable than people on a plan sponsor level about retirement plans. So whether it's filling out, you know, helping plan sponsors fill out a census request or, you know, providing resources and whatnot, this is a great time to do it. It's a great way to keep clients. Next on my hit list is I hate providing free services. I just hate it. I hate it with an absolute passion. So many, many years ago, I had a family member was dating somebody, and I was at the time, before I started my own practice with ERISA, I would do tax returns on the side. I had the software Pro Series and whatnot. So they were dating somebody that I didn't like, but I think that was kind of irrelevant. What bothered me was I was asked to do this person's taxes for free. I didn't need the $150 that I charged for the taxes. It wasn't a matter of that. It was to prove a point that my hard work and time was worth something. I haven't been lucky where I was related to people that I needed services from or could use for services. You know, the uncle who was in the military hat business, I didn't need military hats. The other uncle who, you know, kept on changing careers every 5 to 6 years. I mean, you know, going from running a dry cleaning store that didn't have any dry cleaning equipment to, you know, operating a hot dog stand to managing a bunch of indoor theme parks or sports parks. And then, you know, I think becoming a real estate agent, last time I checked. I wasn't lucky to have relatives, you know, who owned a baseball card store, or owned a record store, or, you know, represented Aerosmith, or, you know, was in the movie business. I was never that lucky. I have friends who are now that way, but I never had family members who were like that. I guess I never had family members who were successful. But I was asked to do free stuff. Oh, look, Ari, he's the attorney. I was the only attorney in the family. I was the only, you know, one of the first ones to go to college, the first one to go to law school, the first one to get multiple, you know, master's degrees. And, you know, my point was I didn't want to do the free work because my work meant something. And if you give away something for free, they don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate what you did. And I notice that sometimes when you give people free stuff. But, you know, that's my point. There are a lot of, plan providers, TPAs. You know, they're offering free services. I think it's a bad idea. You know, a lot of TPAs, especially the large providers, are giving away free CARES Act amendments. That's great. Some of them are giving free ERISA 316 services for the year. That's great too. But I think giving away something for free, if you're not a large plan provider, is ridiculous. Your time and money mean something. So whether it's a CARES distribution package or a CARES amendment, charge for it. It's worth your time. You need to be compensated. There's so many plan sponsors who might be terminating their plans because they're going out of business and assets are depleting or the stock market's choppy and that affects your fees. You need to make money. And I think the last thing you could do is not charge. You need to show plan sponsors that your service is worth something, and they can't if you charge them nothing. So, 316 services for free, oh my God, that's a great idea. But you're putting yourself on the hook, on the fiduciary liability hook, for what? For free. I don't understand. You're a TPA. You're a third-party administrator. Why would you need the hassle and the hassle for free? You know, and if you're giving it away for free with the hopes that people are going to use you in the future, I mean, to me, it reminds me of some of the dot-bomb companies that gave away the house in order to entice customers, and they never made the money back. You know, I remember it was one of those movie sites, Real.com, and they were selling the Titanic VHS tape for $4.95. And I think the going rate at the time was $20. It was a great way for them to get new customers, but if the new customers never came back, they're going to lose their shirt. So at least they were, making $5 on the movie as opposed to giving away free amendments and free CARES distribution packages and free 316 services. I just think it's just asinine. Increasing your work, increasing potential liability, not getting paid for it, not a good business decision. You know, Fidelity can give away free CARES Act amendments or CARES Act distribution packages because their bread and butter is the distribution of their mutual funds. They see TPA work as ancillary. Most of the unbundled TPA firms that I know, that's their business. That's their only business. So why give away something for free? It makes no sense. You know, you can't compete with Empower. You can't compete with Fidelity. You can compete on your quality of service. You can compete on fees, but you can't compete on free. That's what I always say about plain documents. I'm competitive on a 401k plan when it comes to a SEP or a simple 401k or, you know, a simple IRA. Listen, I can't compete with free documents. It just doesn't work out. So my two cents, you're making an absolute mistake if you're giving away something for free. I understand it's a great way to entice new clients. I understand it's a great way to keep clients. It's just something I wouldn't do. Last but not least, I think that you have to really think outside the box. You know, it's a great idea to come up with new ideas, new services to better serve your clients. Came up with an idea with FBA National. We're going to talk about it next Friday. Great hook for the conference. Please sign up. It's free. You know, you got to think about new ideas. Challenging times are great opportunities to deepen your relationship with your clients that will help you retain them. But it could also help you develop new ideas and service to your clients as long as it's not free. So hope that helps in keeping your clients. I hope you attend next week's that 401k Virtual Conference 4. And, of course, come back next week to the podcast. Ari Rosenbaum saying so long.